And they're standing there. And so as we picture this now, I will quickly reflect back to the book of Ephesians. The Bible says there in chapter 2, as we read to you just a few moments ago, where the scripture said, and you who hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins. So now then we understand that there was a point in time in our own walk with God where we were dead in our trespass and sins. But aren't you glad that God, through the preaching of the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit,
right,
brought us from a scattered place,
right,
from a dead and dry,
yeah,
place of bones, to a place where we was awakened to God.
Right.
Our senses become alive to God.
Right.
And some of the first things we begin to realize was our error against God. How that we have spurned the law of God. How that we had rejected Him. And but I thank God He didn't leave us in that state.
Right.
But continually,
yeah,
working on us. Bringing us to a place of full salvation. And so now then we know that he didn't just leave these men standing there and clothing their skin, these soldiers of old. But the Bible says that he prophesied to the wind. And the wind came and filled them. And so now then they have this great wind filling them as God breathed on them. And they had life. The Bible says, and they came unto them and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And the Lord spoke to them and said that He would bring them into the land of Israel. So now then, here's this great, mighty, massive army that is standing there with life. Now we understand, according to, again, the book of Ephesians, we're going to be referring there several times. So keep your finger there in that place where the Bible says, now that we know, but God, who is rich in mercy and for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. The Bible goes on and says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Aren't you thankful that my salvation, your salvation, doesn't rest tonight on whether you're good enough?
Right.
Our good deeds can never produce anything to gain God's attention. He was already well pleased with His Son, and is tonight well pleased with His Son, who sits high on His throne, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I report to you again that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and God has sent Him and put Him and placed Him far above all principality, power, dominion, and put under His feet every name that is to be named in this world and in the world to come. And so He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, thank God. And so the Bible says this, and hath raised us up, Brother Larry, raised us up together, and made us to made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So now then we understand, just as God has shown the prophet Ezekiel how He in His power has raised up this once dead army and put life into it, and brought it back into the land of Canaan, and has used it, no doubt, as a picture, illustration to show that God can yet and still raise up a mighty army.
Yeah.
I'm grateful tonight as we look at one another here in this place, Brother Tony. I thank God how that every single born-again child of God, that He has a place for you.
And
the book of Ephesians, no doubt, is a letter dealing with wonderful truths in the Word of God concerning the believer's power, the believer's position in Christ, And it is a battle plan. It talks about how to put on the armor of God.
Right.
How that we put on the salvation, the helmet of salvation.
Right.
And the breastplate of righteousness. And how our loins are girt up about with truth. And how our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And how we have the shield of faith. And we have the sword of the Spirit, thank God. And so now then, as this soldier goes forth, it is a lively soldier. And as this soldier of Israel there is in that land, God is pointing out a picture to Ezekiel and showing them the rightful place of this army, the rightful place of its power is in Canaan land. And so here he's showing quickly now, and he said in verse 13, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and ye shall and it shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live." And he said, "And I shall place you in your own land." Thank God for that. He said, "Then ye shall know that I am the Lord, I have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord." What a wonderful truth right there.
Yeah.
And so, well, I thank God that the born again's place of service is not wandering out in the wilderness land.
Right.
The place of service for every born again child of God, a place where God wants you to stay.
Right.
A place where the Bible says there is a rest laid up for the child of God is in Canaan land.
Yeah.
Now you can march around the wilderness if you want to, but God will get you to Canaan land. And I want to remind you, it seems to me that we can just follow suit
right.
and have desires produced in our heart by God and say, "Lord, I want Canaan land."
Right.
If we have to choose tonight between walking in a dry desert place as the children of Israel did for 40 years and in all the dust, all the dryness, all the heartache, all the death, the next 40 years was just one long funeral. The only ones that made it back from that second group to Canaan land was Joshua and Caleb.
Right.
And so I want to say there was something that was in Canaan land that was far better than what was in the dry desert land.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes as children of God, we find ourselves in this world,
right.
in the current state,
right.
and our current
yeah.
walk with God yeah. in 2015 in the same situation. We feel like we're scattered all about, but we feel like we're in dry and desolate place. We feel like we have no power with God. We feel like that we're going through life as beggars.
Right.
But I got news for you that God poured His blood out on the cross for a far better way. I want to remind you that Christ not only died on the cross, but He gave His life on the cross.
Amen.
And that life is a victorious life. Christ could walk into a cursed city of Jericho twice and each time come out with a crown. What an amazing effect that the life of Christ had on people. The Bible tells us that in John chapter 1, in verse number 1, a very important scripture to ponder on and reflect on. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." In the life of Christ, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So now then, Christ and His life, as He walks around on the earth for some 33 years, His last 3 years in public ministry. By the way, I'll stop and say this: God was pleased with Christ with His childhood. God was pleased with Christ as His boyhood, as his teenage years, on up into early young adulthood at the baptismal pool of Jordan before he produced any miracle, before he done any great work. God the Father said, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased."
Amen.
I'm so glad of that.
Right.
So you can,
yeah,
as a young person, please God before you even step out into public ministry. Thank God.
Amen.
But even after that, on Mount Transfiguration, when that close ring of disciples there, Peter, James, and John, stood there with the Lord, and Moses and Elisha come, and a voice from heaven was heard as the Father said, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." And so I thank God that He is pleased with Him. His life that He lived was light. Now the Bible says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The Bible says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds should be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." What a wonderful thing to ponder on, that Christ living in you, as Paul said in the Corinthian church, is the hope of glory. And so now then, when we go outside these four walls as victorious Christians, as part of the army of God, with the power of God, dear friend, just our life, the words we speak, the way we act, the way we smile, the way we conduct ourselves is light. And that goes forth and it will affect the world around you.
Right.
It will manifest,
yes,
God.
Yes.
It will bring condemnation on the sinner, thank God.
Amen.
And so that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Without Christ living in you, there is no hope. God will give you any glory. But thank God there is a risen Savior, the,
yes,
Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, who lives and abides on the inside of every believer. Dear friend, we're a powerful army in God. How oftentimes in this dry and desolate land, we allow it to affect us to such a degree that we become ineffective as children of God. And also, while we're in this land, in the current situation, dear friend, we oftentimes live way below what God has given us in Christ.
Amen.
Now the Bible tells us that He has put Him far above all power and principality, above all dominion, and has put all men, all names, and have put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things for the church. The Bible said, "Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." In other words, can I just say this real quick? That just comes to me. I'll say this. What filleth up Christ, what makes Him full tonight, what is the fullness of Christ, is the body of Christ. Him being able to work through His body, you and I here tonight. So now then the Bible tells us this.
Right.
It says that blessed, as Paul writes in these Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," past tense, "blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In other words, tonight we have a position that is in Christ. If Christ is in heaven, as standing on the right hand side of God, making intercession for you and I,
yeah,
then it's somewhere in the internal sovereign mind of God are you and I tonight,
right,
sitting with Christ in heavenly places.
Amen.
Somehow,
amen,
when God looks at us, Bro Tony,
yeah,
because we're justified in Christ, when God looks upon Andrew tonight, when God looks upon Jeff tonight,
right,
He don't see us. He sees Christ.
Yeah.
So now then,
yeah,
we are positioned with Christ in heavenly places. And so we understand now that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He changes not. So now then, if I am in Christ and seated with Christ in heavenly places,
looks like that I have a position in Christ that
does not change, thank God.
Amen.
It seems to me like, according to the authority of the Word of God, that we have a position in Christ tonight.